You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Good morning and welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we had that radio consultant a while back, and I remember distinctly him saying, don't ever talk about like the equipment on the show.
Yeah.
But I got to say, I think I'm going to violate that here. Someone keeps replacing your two-eared headphones with a one-eared headphone.
It's infuriating.
We don't know who it is.
I mean, there's a limited amount of options, I think, of who it could be. But I just, you know, I put my headphones in before the show starting, and just one speaker on one of the ears is working. And we know that we have headphones in here that have that. And for some reason, somebody keeps putting them back in there and I guess prefers the one-eared headphones?
Who would prefer one-eared headphones?
I don't know.
Nick Keyser.
But it's driving me up a wall. I know that.
Who sits there, Nick Keyser, for the Caroline Willie D-Mace? Do you know?
Yes. So where?
Is that Caroline?
It's Caroline, D-Mace, Willie.
Oh, is that right?
So okay, the way so I'm D-Mace. Looking at you right now is Caroline, Derek,
so could this be
Willie.
We got Caroline on the show
we
today.
We got Caroline on the show today. I'm going to ask her. What are you doing with my headphones?
One-eared Caroline. That may be
okay.
Be
so
OEC,
yeah.
Let me kind of help though too. Okay. So one of the headsets, because on my Saturday show with Junie, when I sit in Joe's seat and I bring my own headphones, which I'm wearing currently, sometimes I have to turn the knob a little bit louder because sometimes the audio only comes through one of my earphones until I turn it up. So
that's not what's happening here. There is
that issue too. So yes. maybe it's that somewhat, but no. I understand your quarrel.
It's not that somewhat. Good try. Interesting.
But Nick tried to absolve blame for other people. We're trying to hand out here.
We're trying to
attack Caroline here.
Okay. Yes. Come on.
Who else would it be? Unless it's someone who comes in here and like jams out.
Is David Janes in the middle of the night coming in here and taking headphones and all those things?
He's like, I want stuff in mono. I want just the one ear.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. We talked about equipment on the show. Sorry.
Yeah. Get after me. Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into a lot of college football conversation with her with week one of college football taking place this week. John Glennon from the Nashville Post at 8 o'clock, so we'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. So looking forward to that. But good news with the Titans yesterday. Treylon Burks back on the practice field. Dylan Raidens activated yesterday off of PUP, coming off the torn ACL, which – quite frankly, I did not expect to happen this soon into the season. As we were discussing Dylan Raidens, I thought maybe like, I don't know, halfway through the year, somewhere close to there, that could happen. But it's a pretty good day for the Titans yesterday with Raidens being activated off of PUP and Treylon Burks back on the practice field. Burks back on the practice field, you know, this far in advance of the New Orleans game. I mean, you got to feel great about him playing in week one now, I would think.
No doubt. Yeah, that's a big deal. I thought we'd probably be next week kind of, oh, let's wait and see. Is he out here? The fact that he was out there yesterday doing stuff and looking athletic, I think it's pretty much a lock. You know, if he doesn't have a setback, that he's going to be there for the New Orleans game, which is to me the biggest news of the day yesterday. But there's a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Treylon Burks, I mean, if he's back out there on the field – I mean, obviously, you're still looking like you're going to miss Kyle Phillips, and we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But with Burks back in there, you can absorb a Phillips loss if it's Burks and Hopkins that you still have it available to you. And whether you're filling that in with, I don't know, Chris Moore or NWI or Mason Kinsey or whatever it is they decide to do today, you can overcome that for a few weeks. The worry that I had was, you don't have Burks week one, you don't have Phillips week one, and it's DeAndre Hopkins, and that's it. And you're trying to kind of mix and match throughout there the rest of that. But if it's Burks and Hopkins week one that are available, I feel way better about the Titans heading into that game.
Right. Phillips, yeah, that'll be a bit. And, you know, I still think that he can matter, you know, on this team this year. Hashtag if healthy.
Yes.
But Burks and Hopkins together. And it seems like most of the, you know, it seems like Key, a little banged up. But I think like Brunskill, a lot of times if guys are in the locker room talking, which were like Brunskill was yesterday, you know, they're going to be fine. They're just being careful with them.
Right.
So for the most part, pretty good shape right now. I think certainly compared to last year.
On the Ravens front, first off, the timeline of this is going to be interesting. Everybody, I think, would assume that now that he's back and able to resume some activities here, it's not like he's going straight into, you know, team period for the Titans this week and that he'll be playing in week one. But I do wonder, like, what does the timeline now look like with him and how quickly can he get back? Whether that's, I don't know, week three, week four, week five, somewhere in that neighborhood. Like, what does the timeline look like for Raiden's now that he's at least back and doing activities, even though I think he's still a ways away from actually playing?
Yeah, and so I think with Raiden's, you know, like Raiden's and Phillips, I would think that after the 53 today, they'd go on IR. That'd just be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he talked yesterday in the locker room, a few weeks away was one thing he said, like from, you know, from like really getting into the possible. Like, I still wouldn't think that Raiden's would be a factor on the field. I mean, until a few games in for sure. But to have him as a depth piece, I mean, it's not nothing, you know. It's not – I mean, look, this is – of all the things Dylan Raiden's has done with the Titans, and obviously it hasn't been a ton right now, this rehab is pretty impressive.
Yeah. You know,
this healing process slash rehab is pretty impressive. Look, I still think, you know, Dylan Raiden's is a guy who certainly can be in your top eight, top nine linemen. He can play inside and outside. He's an option. Before he got hurt, he was having, I think, a pretty decent day at left tackle in L.A. So at some point, you know, it's good. It would be good for them to have. I mean, I think he's, you know, an upgrade over the very bottom of this room without him at this point.
Agreed. Got a text that says, happy to hear Burks is back on the field. Believe we're going to have a great year with Henry in the backfield and a veteran wide receiver like Hopkins. Tighten up. Joey from Bellevue on the text line. Good morning, guys. Do you feel Kyle Phillips is just another Darrington Evans? This is from Joey from Bellevue. What do you think of that?
Wow. Hadn't thought about that. Darrington Evans, definitely a guy who couldn't stay healthy, and also I think a guy who eventually just kind of wore out his welcome here. So, but that happens. You know, I don't know. Look, got to see Kyle Phillips be able to stay out on the field for a stretch, you know, at some point. It's very early in his career, but rough start. And some guys are. Some guys just – it's just a different level of physicality, speed, and everything here. So, you know, I we'll see. I get the skepticism right now.
And then in other news, Hassan Haskins placed on injured reserve yesterday, Joe. So I guess that means that his regular season is over at this point, and it looks like he won't be back out there. So obviously we've been talking about the battle at running back for the Titans with Julius Chestnut and Haskins, and, you know, obviously Henry and Spears have their spots spoken for at this point, but looks like it's probably going to be the Julius Chestnut show, I would guess, for that third running back spot.
Yeah, so Haskins being put on IR yesterday means, I mean, that's for the year.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, Liam says, I'm still shocked Haskins wasn't cut for the off-the-field stuff. His question is a player ever fought being placed on it? I mean, I don't know of a player fighting it. I don't know, but I've not heard of that. So this is sort of a – this is kind of a compromise. You know, obviously he still hasn't gone through the legal process. So, no, the Titans were very clear, like, they're going to wait and play it out.
Yep.
And I think you can do that and still suspend a guy, which is what I think they should have done and shouldn't have had him out there this camp. But as far as cutting him, I get that. I think that's a reasonable way to go about it. But as far as the way it played out now, they don't have to deal with cutting him or anything, and he's just kind of out of sight, out of mind now on IR. But, yeah, Chestnut, I think, is basically a lock today, right?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, you know, Jonathan Ward got hurt earlier in camp and would have been interesting to see what he could have done, you know, with a full camp and what that could have looked like out there. But, I mean, Chestnut, I think he's done everything that he could do to make the team, and I would have had him on the team anyway if Hassan Haskins was available and healthy. So I think he's a lock to make the team. And today is roster cutdown day. You got till 3 o'clock today. So, I mean, it's – is that 3 Eastern or is it 3 Central?
I think I'm trying it's to say. 3 Central,
3
right?
Central, yeah, okay.
It's 4 Eastern.
4 Eastern, yeah. 3 Central. So at 3 o'clock today, the Titans have to have their roster down to 53. So we're going to see a lot of moves that are coming out today where the Titans and other teams around the league are making moves. And there's still, as of right now, Joe Rexroad, no kicker for the Tennessee Titans. So keep an eye on that for the next day or two.
Yeah, so – you know, do they have a roster today? You know, do they make a move today? Do they have a roster today that has, like, who's 53? Who's Mr. Irrelevant? Who's going to guaranteed to be replaced by a kicker?
That's right.
That's what we get to speculate on that. Obviously, they're 11th in the waiver order, and I haven't gone through it, but were any of the teams ahead of them in the market for a kicker? I'll look at that. But in the meantime, you know, that's a pretty good spot. There aren't many teams interested. There is, like, the possibility of a team trying to pull a trade that has a competition, which is what just happened, of course, you know, with the Browns. So there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities to me that sound a lot better than anything that, you know, anyone who's been here, and sounds better than Bullock. So, I mean, that's the good thing. But, again, the solution really needs to be a home run.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Mike Vrabel spoke to the media yesterday, talked about a variety of different things, kicker being one of those things, talked about the right tackle spot, lots of things that Vrabel discussed yesterday at his press conference. We'll get into some of that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So Treylon Burks back on the practice field yesterday for the Titans. Dylan Raiden's activated off PUP. Haskins placed on injured reserve. Lots of stuff going down for the Titans yesterday.
Caleb Farley, too, Ian Rappaport has this out today. Beginning the season on the reserve PUP list. No surprise there at all. And obviously, you know, still dealing with the tragic loss of his father right now.
Yeah, just a real tough time for Caleb Farley right now on that front. And then Vrabel spoke about a lot of different things yesterday leading up to game one against New Orleans here in just over a week for the Tennessee Titans, about a week and a half away from that game down in New Orleans, including the right tackle position and the work that's still left to be done between now and the season opener for the Titans on that front. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday regarding the right tackle position.
With the offensive line, what's left between now and the season opener that you have to accomplish? As far as, like, the right tackle position, for you to name a guy to be the starter there?
You know, Chris is the starter. That could change. Justin's here. Dylan's getting to practice. You know, we're going to work through. You know, Jalen hopefully will be back out there today. You know, keep practicing. Keep competing. You know, things can change. It's nothing that's set in stone throughout anywhere. You know, maybe a few positions. But, you know, I thought they responded well yesterday to some of the corrections, conversations coming out of the game and – You know, I think they know what we expect or what I expect, and the ability to protect the guy with the football, whether that's when we run it or whether we throw it.
So that was Vrabel in the right tackle spot yesterday. Chris Hubbard, the starter at right tackle for the Titans right now, which I don't think is a huge surprise. But, you know, he talked about it not being set in stone as that position moves forward here. Obviously, at some point, Nicholas Petit-Frere is coming back, which that was another thing he touched on yesterday, apparently. After three games, he's allowed back in the building to work out, not allowed to participate in practice, not allowed to be at the games, but Petit-Frere allowed to be back in the building after the third game for the Titans of the regular season. So a little bit of a modification there. So with Chris Hubbard at right tackle right now, you know, he brought up Jalen Duncan and them working with him. Dylan Radins now coming off PUP. I wonder, like, does Radins, when he's healthy and ready to go, are they viewing him more as maybe a solution at the right tackle spot? Are they going to put him back on the interior like they did last year? It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Radins and where they try to plug him and how that all fits in once he's back and healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, I think I think the right side is kind of what I'm looking at. I mean, right? Like, Skaronski's got left guard locked down. I feel good about that. That was kind of what Radins was working or has worked. I guess, yeah, well, where has he been? He's been at left guard. Has he been at right guard, too?
I think he may have been at right guard.
Right guard when Nate Davis was out.
Hurt. Yeah.
So I look at right guard, I think, is a definite possibility. I mean, they have Jordan Roos on the roster. I would think that Radins, when healthy, would slot ahead of him. There's also Corey Levin. I mean, but Corey Levin is basically your backup center, too, but he can play guard. So, again, you have left guard basically locked down. Look, I mean, left tackle could be all kinds of things if Andre Dillard doesn't work out. But, yeah, I kind of feel like Brunskill's backup might make the most sense, you know. Obviously, you don't have to designate someone like you're the two here, but that seems to be like the spot where you'd like to have some competition and just some more depth. I mean, right now Brunskill has a mild knee injury. I think there's still a lot of question with both Dillard and Brunskill about how effective they're going to be as starters.
Liam on the text line says, "We're finally getting healthy. Surely one of these mediocre offensive linemen will be the solution to all our problems." This is from Liam on the text line. Hey, I mean,
detect a little snark there, Liam.
We joke about this, but like they need Andre Dillard to be good for a variety of reasons. But like if he's not, you start to look at solutions. Let's say Andre Dillard either isn't good or gets hurt at some point. Like, what are you doing at left tackle? Are you moving Skaronski over to left tackle? Or with Radins being back healthy, do you give him another look at left tackle at that point if that happens? Like, you know, Corey Curtis brought this up yesterday, you know, with Dillard playing into the third quarter. Like, there's not a ton of options at left tackle behind him at this point. So it's imperative that he's good, but in the event that he's not and or he gets hurt, the Titans could be in a little bit of scramble mode at left tackle.
Yeah, and again, Radins has worked there the day he got hurt, worked there against the Niners the year before, you know, a wide range of analysis of that. But he's a possibility. It's like part of that answer is also like how important is it to the Titans coaches that Skaronski just can focus on that job and just be great at that job and then figure it out? Or is it like, well, shoot, he's the best option.
I mean, right.
Put him out there right now. I don't know. Yeah, we've talked before about the possibility of just like flip-flopping spots, Skaronski and Dillard, but I just don't think that would suit Dillard. I think Dillard's either the starting left tackle for this team or not playing. So, but look, it's not insignificant that Radins is getting healthy. I know some people, he sucks, he sucks. And again, it's like, okay, then go through the roster of linemen on this team and tell me who's so much better than him.
Well, the only reason he made the team last year is because he was second round pick. Right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so what is it now? I mean, John Robinson's long gone. So if Dillon Radin's on the team in the rotation, I mean, basically, doesn't this kind of just dunk on that stupidity again?
You would think.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Chuck on the text line says, "Every year we talk about the Titans' offensive line and place kicker. Some things never change." This is from Chuck on the text line. I got another text that says, "During the preseason, how did you guys feel about the Titans' offensive line?"
Well, we talked about it a lot, but, I mean, bad early, better after the Bears game. I wouldn't say the good vibes continued in the next two preseason games. You had a couple three and outs, and you did have a good drive at Minnesota, but
right.
You also didn't really have starters. You had, I mean, the Patriots combination of starters and backups kicked that line's butt on Friday.
Yeah, but I don't know that I feel dramatically different about it throughout the preseason, right? I mean, to me, this is real games coming up. And there's just there's a difference. I know they look really good against Chicago, and that's great. Like, I think confidence is a big part of this, and the more that they can play together, we've seen that offensive lines throughout a season, whether it's chemistry and you're trying to figure out combo blocks, all these other things. I mean, it's more than just lining up and looking across from you and saying, okay, I'm going to hit that guy. Like, there's a lot that goes into playing offensive line at the NFL level. But, I mean, it's still as big of a concern to me now as it was in the preseason. And until I see what they look like in regular season games, that's probably going to be the case. Now, I'm sure that they've gotten better, and obviously I think going up against the Titans front every day in practice should help them. Like, there are players that they're going to see and teams that they're going to see this year that have a front that's every bit as good as the Titans or at least close to it, but there's not a ton of them. Like, there's not a ton of teams that they're going to play that I think have the combination of Harold Landry and Arden Key and Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry that they've been going up against every day. So that should help them when the regular season comes, but it's still, to me, the biggest question mark by far on the team heading into the season.
Oh, easily, yeah. And, here, question from Wes in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, can the O-line even play a whole game without substitute? That's the idea. I mean, that's not a spot you ever want to sub, right?
No.
And the reason is, like you just said, like, so Brunskill was talking about this in the locker room yesterday, kind of like talking about the Saints. I mean, it's such a cat and mouse game. Like, oh, they just changed their front. So when they do that, our rules say now we do this. I mean, this isn't just like, let's run a play and you go there, even if it's zone, gap, whatever. And they did plenty of gap last year, and I think there will be plenty of that this year. But, like, you know, you have to communicate, recognize what you're seeing from the defense and quickly adjust, and you have certain rules that you play with against certain looks. All that stuff requires five guys to communicate together, yep, and to know what, you know, where your help is and all that stuff. Like, yeah, you do not want to ever substitute if you can help it.
Well, and an underrated part of this that we probably don't talk enough about is, you know, Aaron Brewer is coming in at center, and beyond just the physical challenge of that and what that's going to look like on the field this year, I mean, they've had center locked down since 2016 with Ben Jones being out there in terms of directing traffic, being the guy out there that's communicating on the line. And I'm not saying, you know, Aaron Brewer can't do that, but it's a different guy at center this year. So what does the communication look like on game day? You know, can Aaron Brewer handle that at a starting level for a full season with the different looks that they're going to see? I mean, Ben Jones, ask anybody that's played with Ben Jones in that locker room. He was elite at that, and he's a guy that people love playing with on the line. So, you know, it's just a different thing this year without him. Can Aaron Brewer, from a communication standpoint at center, kind of handle those things that are required of the center at the National Football League beyond just the physical part of it?
Yeah. Now, one thing about that, and I don't know this for sure with this offense, but traditionally the Earhart Perkins offense is more QB calling protections,
sure,
than the Shanahan offense. So maybe there's a little bit off his plate relative to, you know, to what Ben Jones had. But yeah, so you're still like the leader up there. I think Brewer is they like him a lot, and I think I'm not really worried about him.
I think he's gonna be fine at center.
Yeah.
I do.
I think, and his athleticism at times is a real plus. Sure, he's smaller than some guys, and sometimes that is just hard to overcome, but against certain opponents. But Those are two spots, left guard and center, that I think are the least of their concerns. And it's like outside in or where your concerns are with this line.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel addressed the kicking position yesterday and had some interesting comments to that effect. We'll get into that. Coming up next, make sure you tune in for National Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Back on the kicker situation, has it frustrated you that you've not been able to find anybody to stabilize that position the way that you have at the punter position?
By you mean having Brett Kern here, you know, for 12 years or 15 years, however many years he was here before me? No, not frustrated.
Is it more part of the challenge that it's not easy to find kickers who can, you know, do what you're, you know, to kick in this league? There's 32 of those jobs.
Yeah. Let me know when Justin Tucker's available.
another guy who's not being let go anytime soon.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know. We're just going to keep finding, keep evaluating guys. And, again, we're going to need one. And we're obviously searching like everybody, not everybody else, but a handful of teams.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing the kicking situation for the Titans. Let me know when Justin Tucker's available.
Yeah.
Might go try to sign him.
See, if that sound, well, first of all, that sound clip was, frustrated Vrabel.
It was.
But that answer could feed the idea that he just doesn't give a crap. I don't necessarily buy that, but that's how he answered. Right? Yeah, let me know when Justin Tucker's available.
Yeah, I mean, I get what he's saying. Like, there's a handful of guys that are just uber reliable. That, Justin Tucker's even an extreme example of that. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame kicker.
Right.
So, obviously, we know that Justin Tuckers don't grow on trees around the league. But I mean, the back part of that answer also caught my attention, where he was like, we're just looking for some, just like every, well, not everybody else, but. Yeah. But a handful of teams out there looking for kickers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's – I mean, that's the question is – first of all, I think that it's fair to totally question, how they're evaluating. And you have to remember, John Robinson's gone, so it's different now. But Vrabel's been there the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is why some can look at this and say, so maybe Vrabel is just a guy who's like, get these – wimpy little kickers out of my face. I don't even want to talk to them. Just tell me who's kicking, and we'll go back to. I'm gonna go out and take some D line drills.
He did confirm yesterday that they were going to need one, which is good to hear.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I actually was kind of going for the 2-point conversion.
I
thought
too.
That would have been fun, but I don't know. I mean, is he too nonchalant? Does he not care enough about kicker? Is that the issue here?
I don't know. My guess is, though, let's say that was the case and that was the approach that Vrabel took, and it was just like, okay, it's kicker. It's not at the top of mind or priority. Wouldn't that at this point had to have shifted at least a little bit in the mind of Vrabel? Maybe that's I don't know if that's the way he's always approached it or not, but even if it was, I would think by this point, with as many different kickers as they've gone through, look, even at this point in camp, with as many kickers that they've gone through, that would have had to have shifted at least a little bit. I mean, Kaharski asked him yesterday about, there were some good free agent kickers that were available early in the offseason. We've talked about the McManus situation going from Denver to Jacksonville, and he ends up with the Jags. And Vrabel's answer basically was, yeah, there are, kickers available at different times of the year, whether that's in free agency or now in camp. I always loved it when he starts chronologically listing the times of when things can happen. He did that with the kickers yesterday. But I would have to think, even if that's the approach that he's had, would that not have shifted at this point given how much difficulty they've had with the position?
Yeah, I would hope so. Like Zach says, I like Vrabel's philosophy with kicker is Hall of Famer or scrub, no in between.
There was that.
Of course, he had a Hall of Famer. Is Gus not going to be a Hall of Famer, is he?
I mean,
maybe
he's got a case.
He's got a case, but he was basically a scrub by then,
right?
So he was, but that was a struggle. That's the thing, It's obviously that one was kind of easy to see coming. Look, Caleb Shudak, they had belief in him, so he let them down. He wasn't what they thought, but boy, did they give it some time.
They did,
and there was injury in there and all that, but they gave it time. And it didn't work out. But that was an attempt to have a long-term, find your own long-term kicker. And so, I think they've tried things. I mean, here's a question. So they're going to, obviously, one way or another, they're going to come up with a kicker here. I mean, does it matter that, you've got a few days to work with the operation before you go out and you have to kick field goals in an NFL game? I mean, these guys are all pros. These guys are pros. And it's not like there's that much variation in snaps, holds, et cetera. But
it shouldn't be.
I mean, it's still kind of seat of your pants. It's far from ideal.
It's far from ideal. And, now it's, what are the Titans? Are they going to pick up somebody that is discarded from one of these other teams, whether that's you know, a Will Lutz in New Orleans, if he loses the kicking battle and they go a different direction there, could Lutz be coming here and he'd be kicking against his old team in week one? Like,
yeah, and what, like Jared pointed out yesterday, you know, could the Saints do what – who the heck just traded Hopkins to the Chargers?
Chargers, to the Browns.
Do that same thing. Like, hey, give us a seventh or give us something. You know, we'll give you Lutz. I mean, that's certainly a possibility too. So to that point, I want to highlight Mo here on the text line, driven by Wilson, Honey.com. What do you guys think about the kicker Blake Group from the Saints? And I said, he's probably winning that job, right? And then he said, what about Blake Group, the kicker? Mo? Are my texts coming through?
Mo, is everything okay?
You all right, Mo? I don't know. Maybe he won't. But it seems that way, right? It seems to be trending that way, that Will Lutz is available one way or the other.
Well, and there's the, you know, a battle with the Patriots going on. Nick Folk has been there. And is he going to be – I mean, he's 38 at this point. So is he going to be an option somewhere down the road for the Titans or somebody else? Like, there are going to be options after today that become available for the Titans. Now, the question is, how good are those options and how many other teams are interested in some of these kickers that maybe get discarded today? Like, you know, Nick Folk has been in New England since 2019. He's 38 years old. Last year he hit 86.5% of his field goal attempts. So, I mean, you could do worse out there, but then it comes down again to, you know, what about 50-plus at his age, you know, 38 years old? Now, he was 4 of 5 from 50-plus last year. So if he gets cut, maybe that's the route you could look at if you're the Titans. But there are going to be options here in the next 24 to 48 hours that they're going to have available to them.
And Cade York is, you know, an interesting case.
Yep.
He, you know, because the Browns moved on from him. Trade for Hopkins. Cade York, very talented, huge leg. Disappointing so far. See, to me, at this point, this season has become, it's kind of potentially last hurrah, Tannehill, Henry, you bring in Hopkins. I'm not worried. At this point, if I'm the Titans, I'm not worried about, ooh, not only could Cade York work out, he could be the answer forever.
Yeah,
I mean, if he's 72% this year, then you screwed up the season. So I don't think I'd go that way. I'd go with someone who has demonstrated consistent excellence or close to it in this league, and even if it's an older guy and it's 1 year, that's how I would look at it. If I were the Titans, I would not mess with Cade York.
I don't know that I would either, but like, I almost feel like if they were interested in a Crosby or a Suckup or somebody like that, wouldn't they have done that at this point? I mean, maybe it is as simple as they don't want them on the roster week one to guarantee their salary for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
could be that.
There is,
I don't know.
That.
Like, maybe that's the hold up there with one of those guys, but,
or maybe it's just that they really have their eye on somebody here
could be.
That's about to come.
But through. I agree with you. Like, in an ideal world, it would be great to find a solution at kicker long-term moving forward. Right now, I just don't know that that's realistic this year. So find a kicker that can help you this year, and then I guess you're right back on the carousel next offseason at that point. And maybe, I don't know, maybe next year in the draft, Joe, you spend a 6th or 7th rounder on a kicker. Haven't done that yet, so maybe that'll work.
Yeah, I guess. You could try. I heard Caroline Will and D-Mays arguing about that yesterday. It was D-Mace. Like, they got to draft one. And Willie's like, okay, let's look at everybody who's been drafted. It's bad.
Yeah.
The higher you get drafted at kicker in this league, the worse it turns out, basically. I mean, it's a bad track record of drafted kickers in recent years in the NFL. Okay, how familiar are you with kickers in the NFL and teams?
Me?
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Okay, because here's the teams ahead of the Titans in the waiver order. The Bears, they're good.
They got a
former Titans kicker. Texans? Who the heck's the Texans kicker?
I have
kicker?
No idea who's kicking for the Texans.
Cardinals, they're tanking, so, I mean,
they'll probably trade him away free.
Colts are set.
Yep.
Broncos, I think, are set.
Yep.
Rams.
I think the Rams are set.
Raiders.
I think they're set, too.
Falcons, they're good.
Set.
Panther, the Saints are 10. Panthers.
I don't know who kicks for the Panthers.
So, I mean, honestly, what are the other teams that are, I mean, is there another team that's even close to the Titans' level of desperation right now?
I would be surprised if there's another one close to the Titans' level of desperation. Not to say that there's not teams out there that couldn't use a kicker potentially, but I think the Titans are on an island right now in terms of level of desperation to find one. That's just my guess.
They are the most kicker-deficient team in the NFL by far.
We did get it confirmed yesterday that doesn't sound like Vrabel and the Titans have any interest whatsoever in having Ryan Stonehouse do kickoffs. So
I like the question, though.
Yeah?
I appreciate the question. Hey, big leg, hey. I mean, how sweet would that be if you could just make that one job, you know? One roster spot, someone do all the kicking.
Yeah. But whoever's going to kick is going to have to do the kickoffs for the Titans, apparently. So there you go.
Yes. I'm saying, I mean, Stonehouse.
Have to do field goals. Yeah, they do it all.
All of it, man.
Craig Hendrick out there. He kicked some field goals back in the day.
Yeah, there you go.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We've got a lot of thoughts of yours on the text line on the kicking position to get to. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville R&B Experience at Bridgestone Arena coming up on September the 8th, featuring Trey Songz, Tamar Braxton, Tevin Campbell, and more. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville R&B Experience at Bridgestone Arena coming up on September 8th. 615-737-1025. Discussing the kicking situation for the Titans. Taking your thoughts. I got a texter that says, it's crazy to think there aren't 32 people on the earth that are good enough to consecutively kick 50-yard field goals. You'd think those guys would get paid a lot more. That's from an unnamed texter on the text line.
It's a fair point. Pretty important. They score a lot of points. You usually lead their team in scoring.
They do.
They're very, very important.
Sometimes they win divisions for you. Sometimes they lose divisions for you. Playoff games.
By the way, Sam Sloman is one of those kickers who was drafted. So, I mean, he did. Hey, he made a big kick.
He did.
Cam brings up London Baronis, BA, Brentwood Academy.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah,
he's going to. Someday I think we'll probably see him in this league like his dad was. Here's a question. It kind of goes along the same idea. But why does Vrabel consistently blow off kicker and O-line? When we go 7-10 this season because we can't get field goals and the O-line is garbage, again, should Vrabel be on the hot seat? And I texted, I think people confuse blowing off sometimes with making bad choices. I think, you know, the Titans, I mean, they've emphasized the crap out of offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
They've made bad choices. Kicker, look, I think it's missteps are the bigger thing. Missteps like going back to suck up. All of this stuff is avoided if you basically don't rush him back.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that was on him. I don't know. But the bottom line is he comes in, they move on from him. He's still very much Ryan Suckup for the next few years, wins a ring in Tampa Bay with the guy who formerly was John Robinson's boss, and the Titans are continuing to wander in the wilderness now.
Yeah,
and I'm still, again, not down. I'm not down on the idea of Suckup, but he's getting up there.
I mean, 36, Crosby's 38, Robbie Gould's 40. I mean, none of those guys are spring chickens anymore. And, like, the idea, we had somebody texted in and said, like, talking about Nick Folk from New England. It's like he wouldn't have much of a chance to make it from 60. I'm not worried about 60.
Yeah. Like
60s,
Chuck said.
Whatever.
Chuck's like, I don't want to be nervous on extra points.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Make your extra points. Make almost all of them when you're closer than 48 yards and give me a chance from beyond 50. Like, that's my expectation, my hope for the Titans at kicker right now. Like, just give me a shot from somewhere beyond 50. I'm not worried about 60.
By the way, what's special about a spring chicken? What is that? Like the chicken born in the spring?
I guess they're a little bit more spry. I don't know.
I mean, is that when the chickens are born? In the
spring? I'm sure some of them.
They taste better, the younger spring chickens?
It's a great question. I don't know.
I'd like to know the origin of spring chicken.
I would too.
If anybody out there knows.
That's why you listen to this program.
Yeah,
very educational.
I could probably help you out with that one.
You're going to Google search the origin story of spring chicken?
Okay, so I was finishing my phone call, but I was listening to what you guys were saying about chickens. Well, my girlfriend's family, they handled the Purdue chickens all the time. And so I've seen the whole processing perspective from their point of view. and they get all these little baby chicks. They all come in. They stay in their little coop for about, I don't know, a couple months.
Is this about to turn really dark? I don't want to hear about slaughter. Sure.
Other than it smelling horrific, Joe, it is pretty bad. But they take them, and then they go on a truck, and then they end up at the grocery store at some point in time.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you for your contribution there, Nick.
So, yes, you have spring chickens with lots of energy that are cute and fuzzy.
That's good.
And then that's where they end up. There you go.
So, like, the fall chickens are just – I don't know.
There's no difference.
Okay. All right.
Zach in Nashville says young chickens don't survive the winter. So, I guess you got to just get to the spring. This is taking a turn. Big turn. What have you done?
Sorry. I don't know. But I cannot make the lamb stop screaming in my head now.
I got a texter that says, Devin from Dover says, might have to call the third Saturday in October legend to kick for the Titans, Chase McGrath. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, there you go.
Takes down Alabama, and now he's kicking for the Titans. Who knows?
Winning field goal that he totally mishit. You know?
He did.
That's just amazing.
Got it through,
when
though.
He hit that, I'm like, oh, my God, he blew it.
I was saying several words when I saw that ball come off his foot. Then it went through, and I was saying different words. It was fun.
So Zach continues on this horrific storyline. Says, old farmers, because young chickens would be weaker and less healthy, weren't able to sell them for as high a price as they could in the spring when they're healthier and meatier and more flavorful. All right.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, I could buy that. I mean, it sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
It does.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. And
this is an excellent addition to the Fantasy League.
Trent on the text line.
Talk about slaughtering animals next week.
Yeah. Trent, going back to the 60-yarder, says, but say you got a second left against Jacksonville in the last game of the season, and you need to hit a 60-yarder to make the postseason and win the division. You don't think it's important to even have a possibility of hitting the kick?
Well, sure. But
it's
but
not,
like
how realistic is that with the options that they currently have?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I'll go back to Vrabel. Yeah, Justin Tucker. Get him. Find Justin Tucker. But in the meantime, find someone who can – make like 85% of their kicks, and that you feel from 45 in like it's a lock. I mean, you do need to be able to feel fine about like a 53-yarder. Right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Like, I mean, that's
look. If that's not the case, like if you're not worried about feeling fine from there, then just go sign Randy Bullock again, right? I mean, Randy Bullock was fine from 48 in, but beyond that, not a whole lot of chance from Randy Bullock there. What are you laughing at?
Just the spring chicken stuff. James says, "Welp, I'm a vegetarian now." The crazy thing is, last night at home, I ate some of my white chicken chili and also had some chicken fried rice, both for dinner.
Jeez.
And I don't know if they were spring chickens or not.
Good God. I just hope I'm making a prediction. Will Lutz is the next kicker for the Tennessee Titans.
I'm fine with that.
Don't you think that's just so poetic that he would be going into New Orleans in another uniform? I'm kind of there. Well, I mean, Will Lutz has been excellent. Again, has been. That's the phrase you hate to. But can you get a good year or two?
That's the thing.
Out of
like
somebody?
He wasn't good last year. I mean, he hit 74.2% of his field goals last year. Now, prior to that, he had been pretty good. Now, I will say, 2020, 82.1% of his field goals. I guess he didn't play in 2021, looking at the stats I'm looking at right now.
So, yeah, he's coming off an injury last year, and it didn't go well. So, I mean, he's only 29, but sometimes that's – you have an injury, and then, you know. But, yeah, you're talking about a guy who – some very good years for them, you know, and a guy who career is an 85% guy still, even after last year.
Right.
But 23 for 31, that's tough, and that's why he's probably going to lose the job now.
Right. So, like, let's say that's the case and it goes that way. How much better do you feel about Will Lutz based on the other guys that they brought in? Like, two of the guys, like Wolf and Shudak, have never kicked in the league before.
Yeah. And Bullock, I feel better about Will Lutz based on all the information we have. And I don't think he's been like a disaster or anything this camp with the Saints.
Right.
But based on all the information, I would definitely feel better about him than, obviously, the young guys you're trying to find, or a Bullock, probably just about most people out there who might be available, I think. I mean, what about Nick Folk? I mean, that's another guy, I think, veteran, I think is losing the competition, who's going to be out there. Yeah. I mean, he's much older, 38. Been around the league a lot.
Yeah.
Had a lot of success. I mean, he's been really good for New England the last 3 years.
Are we into some like long, drawn out, just circle our way all the way back to Randy being the kicker for the Titans when week one rolls around?
I can't buy that. I can't buy that. You can do better than that, right?
Well, they haven't yet.
Yeah, well, I know, but yeah, I mean, that'd be hilarious. I'm here for it, but Randy, he'd be excited too. Talk to us about
it. Yeah, he would.
He would be ready to rock, man. Yeah, I can't buy that.
Josh from Cookeville says, I'd rather us get someone other than Lutz the Klutz. In all seriousness, I miss us not being on the kicking carousel. Lutz the Klutz.
You miss us not being on the kicking carousel? You are on the kicking carousel.
I think he's saying he misses not being on it.
So miss not.
I would rather not being on it.
I missed the not. Yeah. Sorry. I'm no spring chicken, okay?
you're not.
late winter chicken.
Got the Ramal on the text line saying, you can go find some, go to England, go find a soccer player from the Champions League, bring him over to kick.
There's been a lot of text to the effect of, you know, Walker Zimmerman.
What's Monty Mukhtar doing?
Hey, man. It'd be a great story.
I feel like you need a goalie, though, right?
Crossover.
A goalie's got the same, like,
yes,
kicking form.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Goalies often work out. Yeah, exactly. So, which, like Sarah Fuller, you know, which is a big conspiracy so Derek Mason could save his job per some geniuses who
worked out well for
him.
Town. Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get into some college football with her. We'll get into Vandy's opening performance in week zero. Look ahead to week one coming up this weekend. All that's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.